Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is April 1, 4, 2021, as we are really now in the smack dab middle of April here, and I wish we would get some nice, warm spring weather, right? Oh, boy, temps are in the 50s. I mean, if you're going outside, be sure to wear that light jacket or hoodie. Just put something on other than a T-shirt, because it is not T-shirt weather, even though I have seen many people out there just with a T-shirt and shorts. I would never understand that. You know, if the temperatures are in the 50s, heck, even the 60s for me, I'm not coming out my house with just a T-shirt on. That's a recipe for sickness, at least for me. At least that's just how my body works, all right? And even tomorrow, it's supposed to snow. Like, light flurries are expected. I mean, come on, bruh. But hey, that's the state of Michigan for you. That is Michigan weather for you, all right? But hey, happy Wednesday. On today's Current Sports, the primary focus of the hour will be Michigan State football, as we will actually have the latest media availability from head coach Mel Tucker of the Michigan State football program, as the Michigan State football program actually held its second scrimmage, and Mel is going to give you a little bit of insight into how spring practice has been coming along for the Spartans. You know, you won't get too much insight, though. I mean, you'll get insight into how guys are competing, you know, maybe some names to look out for, maybe some positional battles that are intriguing. But as far as like some hardcore concrete takeaways, like who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Michigan State football team this upcoming year, yeah, you won't get that answer. All right, that's just not how this thing goes. That's spring football for you. You know, the insight is certainly limited. But, you know, now with two scrimmages under Michigan State football's belt, you better believe that Mel Tucker is turning up the heat a little bit. And he is really evaluating, you know, how certain position battles are playing out. And he's further establishing his culture, now entering his second year as the head coach of this program. All right. So we spoke for about, you know, 30 minutes, and you'll hear the majority of it. So, you know, you can't just tiptoe around certain things for 30 minutes. But, you know, well, I don't know. Mark D'Antonio did, didn't he? Mark D'Antonio, when he was the head coach of Michigan State football, Mark did a great job of tiptoeing around certain things, you know, certain aspects of his team, you know, on the field, and doing it in a way where you're just like, all right, he said a lot there, but he didn't. He got really good at that. So you'll hear from Mel Tucker in just a moment, but I do want to touch upon a few different things. First, Michigan State basketball, because You know, there are a lot of people out there just kind of scratching their head and saying, what is going on with Tom Izzo's program? And I'm here to say, look, man, look, this is what you want to happen. All right. I think the majority of Michigan State basketball fans out there certainly understand what is happening, especially after looking at what happened last year and the disappointment that was last season. Michigan State barely making the NCAA tournament. Things were certainly at, you know, in jeopardy up until about like the last 2 weeks of the season. I really thought that the streak was going to be snapped, but somehow they found a way, led by the stellar play of Aaron Henry. But you make the tournament barely because you go into a play-in game, which is now really debatable. You know, it was debatable when we first heard that Michigan State basketball was going to be playing in a play-in game, because when you look at Michigan State's resume in those final 2 weeks, I mean, it's stacked up against some of the nation's best, right? But the committee said that, all right, you got to still do a little more work because we're not fully convinced, so we're going to put you in a first four game against UCLA. And the reason why I say you look back now and really can debate that Michigan State, you know, shouldn't have been, you can really make a case that Michigan State shouldn't have been in the play-in game, because they played a team in UCLA that probably also shouldn't have been in a play-in game, seeing as though this was a Final Four team. That's the tournament, though, man. The regular season is just a small window into the potential of a squad around March Madness. You just never know, though. And the Bruins, again, went all the way to the Final Four and eliminated the two best college basketball teams in this year's state in the Spartans and also Juwan Howard's Michigan Wolverines. So with that being said, with everything that went down last season, we knew that some changes were going to be happening. And you could just kind of read the tea leaves into what Tom Izzo was saying. You know, he would always talk about evaluations. He would talk about meetings with certain players. And, hey, this is the result of that. We knew some dominoes would fall. And Thomas Kithier becomes the latest domino to fall for the Michigan State men's basketball squad, as Thomas Kithier has now entered the transfer portal. That news broke yesterday afternoon, and the junior forward now becomes the third Spartan since the end of the season to enter the NCAA transfer portal, submitting his name yesterday. Kithier said in a post on Twitter that he will graduate in May after 3 years with a bachelor's degree in science, and he plans to, quote, explore options for grad school. He goes on to say in a statement, quote, I created lifelong memories with my teammates while I was here, and those guys will always be my brothers. Thanks to Coach Tom Izzo, the MSU coaches, support staff, and all of my professors. Playing for Coach Izzo was a childhood dream of mine, and I will always cherish the championships we won and the experience I had there. So that's a bit of what Thomas Kithier had to say in a Twitter post, because that's how we all make official statements now. You know, it's always funny, you know, whenever there's like some breaking news, you know, like the first thing I do is hit up Twitter to read the official statement, because I know some kind of official statement has been made by that said player or that said coach. Anytime I hear news like this, you know, I always know that there's going to be, you know, some majestic picture on the left or right side of this graphic, you know, them playing basketball or coaching on the sidelines with this really put together statement that has color in it and is produced, highly produced by a PR team out there with an autograph at the bottom. It's amazing how social media has really just taken over, hasn't it? But yeah, lo and behold, when I heard this news about Thomas Kithier a little after 1 o'clock yesterday, what do? I go to Thomas Kithier's Twitter page, and there's the statement, him staring majestically into a basketball, and a really dope photo of him, you know, holding the Big Ten championship trophy And then the statement, Spartan Nation in green lettering. So, yeah, Thomas Kithier entering the transfer portal, and he now joins guards Jack Hoiberg and Mark Rocket Watts, each of whom entered the portal last month. Hoiberg has committed to Texas Arlington, while Watts has yet to announce where he will play next year. I'm sure that's coming very soon. And Michigan State also added a really good player. You know, when I'm talking to certain people that I know really know basketball, they say that this dude, he's probably going to be Michigan State's best player. He has a really good chance of being Michigan State's best player come next season, especially with the news that also broke this week about Aaron Henry entering his name yet again into the NBA draft. This time it's pretty concrete now. You know, he's going to hire an agent and stay in the NBA draft. But Northeastern guard Tyson Walker, he may very well be the best Michigan State player come next season for this team. So, and I'll have more on him probably later on this week, but I want to focus the absences for this team now. You know, the latest being Kithier. He appeared in 86 games over the past three seasons, starting 19 times, averaging 2.3 points and 2.3 rebounds in 9.6 minutes. As a junior last season, he started 14 of 26 games, averaged 2.4 points, 2.5 rebounds, and he scored in double figures once, getting 10 against Binghamton as a sophomore. So, and, you know, the rotation, he was in the regular rotation for most of the season, played only single-digit minutes in each of the final six regular season games. He did not get on the court in the first four loss to UCLA in the NCAA tournament, and that really kind of like that was a window into this story, right? That Kithier would be finding another place to play via the transfer portal. You know, when he didn't get any minutes in that UCLA game, and again, this was a guy who was getting double digit minutes throughout a lot of the year, who started many times throughout the season, and he's a guy who I heard from Spartan Nation, a guy that really couldn't cut the mustard in the green and white. You know, Spartan Nation was not pleased with his output, and I totally got it. Thomas Kithier he was a very, very tough player, worked his tail off, but lacked athleticism and really lacked an offensive game that really fit the mold of Michigan State. You know, when it comes to, you look at the just even the recent history for Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State has always had a great guard who can facilitate the basketball and also find that balance between facilitating and also picking and choosing when to score. No better example of that than Cassius Winston. And then they've always had a dominant presence down low who can grab rebounds, who is tough, who is just a menace down low. And the best recent example of that is Xavier Tillman, X-Man, who's now in the NBA. You know, both Cassius and X-Man, both now in the NBA. And Kithier just really doesn't fit that mold. If anything, I would say the best aspect to Kithier's game is his defense. So, you know, this was the best option for him, especially when he got 0 minutes in that first four game against UCLA. I just knew that, okay, it's time for Thomas Kithier to move on. You know, I felt the same way about, you know, Rocket Watts. Just really couldn't find his footing. I mean, all of the moves that have been made so far, all of the movement that's been made so far in this offseason has been expected. It really has. You know, Fred Hoiberg, I think out of the three, you know, Fred Hoiberg is probably the most surprising because it's like, all right, I didn't, you know, when it comes to a player like Fred Hoiberg, who wasn't getting many minutes, you know, to start with, and I'm sorry, Jack Hoiberg, you know, I'm thinking of his dad, Fred Hoiberg, you know, who's a coach in college right now. Jack Hoiberg, you know, he's a guy who, you know, walk on, wasn't expected to get that many minutes in the first place. Is he just comfortable with that, though? You know, because a lot of players in his position are just comfortable with just being there for the team, getting in there in garbage time, have no really NBA aspirations. Those are really out the window. You're just along for the ride, along there for the experience of being around a basketball mind like Tom Izzo and being around guys who are your brothers now, you know, who you've, you know, grown throughout your college career with. You're just happy with just being there. But Jack Hoiberg and making this move, it lets me know that he has some possible next level basketball aspirations as a player. That's really a surprising one for me. The biggest surprising one for me. I mean, Rocket, I expected. I saw that one coming. Thomas Kithier saw that one coming. There's another domino I see falling as well. Foster Lawyer. I'm just waiting on that headline. Again, I could be wrong here. I'm just speculating here. But, you know, Foster Lawyer, just he is a player who just who hasn't really just seemed to fit in here in East Lansing. You know, there were great expectations. Him walking in that door from Clarkston and watching his high school career. I mean, I used to love watching Foster Lawyer do his thing in high school when I thought, okay, yeah, he's a bit undersized, but he makes up for it with his amazing shooting, and he is just a smart guard. But that lack of size, that lack of athleticism, it really hindered Michigan State. You know, anytime he was out there on the floor. And look, this past year, he had his best year. You know, able to find a bit of a shooting range. But as far as going out there and doing it on a consistent basis, it was just hard. And defensively, if he wasn't taking a charge, which he did a pretty good job of last season, but if he wasn't in a position to take a charge and taking charges, it's like, eh. You know, bigger guards would just look at him like lunch meat, man. And I don't. And then you have the shoulder surgery, right? Untimely, right near the end of the season, when Michigan State is trying to find out who it is, trying to make the NCAA tournament. When I heard about the surgery, and Tom Izzo had alluded to it right before we got the news that he did indeed have the surgery. And Tom had already said that thing is going to need surgery after the season. But the fact that it happened during the season told us all how serious it was. So once I heard that headline, it's just been one of those things where I've just said to myself, okay, yeah, he's probably going somewhere else to take his basketball talents. I don't see how he fits in come next season. So that's the other domino that I'm waiting to see fall. I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll see. But now Michigan State has one open scholarship for next season. And there's a lot of question marks surrounded around the team. Because there's a chance that Imani Bates could reclassify and join the 2021 class. But the Spartans could also continue to mine the transfer portal for another year. And you know, I was talking with, you know, my fraternity brothers yesterday as we were talking about Kithier. You know, one of my frat brothers, Donnie, you know, he's like, whoa, Izzo's in full rebuild mode now. And I'm like, no. What do you mean? We expected this Thomas Kithier story, didn't we? Yeah, full rebuild mode. No, this is great. I think Spartan fans should be encouraged. With every move that has happened so far, Michigan State fans should say, yes, that was the right move. That was the right move. And, yeah, that was the right move. You know, Hoiberg, thanks. But you open up a spot for us. And Rocket and Kithier, they just weren't fits here. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, after I calmed down my fraternity brother Donnie, I said, look, man, you know, the only thing I'm worried about is what will happen with Imani Bates. Because a player of his caliber, a player with his talent, I am just so skeptical that Imani Bates is going to play any kind of college basketball. I mean, this is the most hyped player, high school player, since LeBron James. I mean, you know, I always bring up that Sports Illustrated cover. You know, what did it say? Did it include Magic on there? They said something like, you know, LeBron, or they said like Magic, Michael, LeBron, Imani, or maybe it was just LeBron and Mike. LeBron, Mike, Imani, something like that. Matter of fact, let me look it up right now. Make sure I get that right. So I want to get this cover right. But I never forget, you know, reading that, and I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, I was right. Okay, Magic, Michael, LeBron, .. Imani Bates, born for this. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. But you read a headline like that on the cover of sports' most coveted sports magazine in Sports Illustrated. Goodness. And you better believe that the NBA, who's all about money at the end of the day, the NBA is a business. They're going to throw a lot of cheese at Imani Bates to possibly play some G League ball, market him there. You know, and that money could intrigue Imani and his family. Because right now, you still can't throw any moolah at college players. You know, I always say, man, the only power they really have right now is that transfer portal. That's really it. But as far as paying them, I mean, that won't be in effect yet. So I don't see, will Imani reclassify? I don't think he will. He'll wait this decision out when it comes to what he wants to do, his basketball future, and the NBA is going to be a very intriguing option for him. The NBA's G League, I should say. You know, or maybe he goes the route, you know, of going overseas and playing over there, making some cheese for a year, and then coming over and playing NBA ball so that he can, you know, start getting paid some big bucks right out of high school. Those are always options, man. And Michigan State, because of the transfer portal, can mine the transfer portal for another season. The transfer portal has become a game changer. It really has. And it's made the job of recruiting more difficult, but easier as well. It's a double-edged sword. Because now, you know, if there's any little thing wrong with your quote-unquote star, that star can say, deuces, I'm out, I'm going somewhere else. And it's like, dang, okay, well, your star can leave at any given moment, or that player can leave at any given moment. That puts you in a tough position as a coach. But then again, when you do have losses like that and turnover within your program, the transfer portal is an option. There's some talent there that you can pick from. Now, is the talent always going to be game-changing kind of talent? No. But there's going to be some talent in there that you can pluck at and say, all right, well, we can bring on said player to fill this role. It's become a game-changer. And, you know, now, you know, you just look at the numbers. You know, just look at the website verbalcommits.com. Which, you know, it seeks to list all of those who've entered the transfer portal. And it shows right now over 1,300 collegians looking to move. How insane is that, man? 1,329 players looking to move right now. There are now 358 schools in D1. If you do the math, folks, that's 3.7 transfers per program. Over 350 schools in Division I are experiencing an average of 3.7 transfers per program. 3.7 per program, folks. Man, that has changed the game. And today brings like the opening of the second stage of college basketball signing period. Because of transfers, the sport has really just, it's plunged into a state of like permanent recruitment. I don't know how college coaches do it. You know, if you thought recruiting was tough before, now this has completely changed the game. Because not only does a coach have to like persuade incoming freshmen to sign, but that same coach has to re-recruit his own players on a year-to-year basis saying, please come back. You gonna come back? Are you gonna come back? Are you happy? I mean, you almost have to baby these dudes. I want to use another word that I can't use on the air, but you know what I'm getting at. You know, and if they don't like something, I mean, again, they can just dug into the portal and emerge elsewhere. Yeah, and again, this isn't a total bad thing because, again, I'm all about player empowerment, especially when they're not getting paid in a billion-dollar industry that is the NCAA. And it's not fair. Not fair at all. So, hey, I get it, man. Totally get it. And you want to look at a perfect example? I mean, you know, when I got this flash on my phone about him committing to going to the NBA, I said, hey, you know, just look at his road. Look at his look at this incredible road that has led him to the NBA. You know, just look at, you know, Baylor's just crowned, you know, Baylor has just been crowned the champs, right? And four contributing players began their college days elsewhere. Davion Mitchell, again, who just declared for the NBA draft. He is chief among those. You know, he played one season at Auburn. He wound up in Waco. Andrew Nembhard of Gonzaga played at as a freshman at Florida. How about UCLA's Johnny Juzang, who gave the Spartans heck, right? The best player in the Final Four, he was a Kentucky Wildcat 14 months ago. Quentin Grimes, Houston's best player, arrived via Kansas. It's incredible. I mean, it's this kind of mobility, it kind of reminds you of what has happened to the NBA today, right? Where guys are just always transferring year after year. It's become the wild, wild west for sure in the NBA. And, you know, it's allowed them some power, and I'm all about that. But I don't know, as a college coach, it is your job has become that much more stressful. And yeah, the transfer portal has certainly affected college football as well, but I think more so with college basketball, because you know, in college football you have such a more massive roster of guys who can step in and possibly fill certain roles, you know. But with basketball, you're talking about two-way guys who play both sides of the basketball, offense and defense. And we all know, I mean, the roster isn't that big. Very limited roster in comparison to football. And, you know, which means that in basketball, I mean, your players, you know, one player or two or three going and leaving and transferring has a much more profound impact in the game of basketball than it does football. So, man, it's wild, man. But what do you think? What do you think about Michigan State basketball right now? The confidence of Izzo holding this thing together. And what do you think Imani Bates will do? I think that's the real money question here as well. Because if somehow Michigan State is able to pull this off and is able to land Imani Bates, how major would that be? Immediately puts Michigan State in the national championship contention conversation. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call and leave us a voice message at. You can also weigh in on social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, you'll hear from Mel Tucker as Michigan State football has completed its second scrimmage of the spring football season. You'll hear what he had to say about that scrimmage and so much more. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And I also want to remind you guys that, you know, this week we're also having our April spring radio pledge campaign. And, you know, if you love what we do here at WKAR, working tirelessly to bring you informed, fact-based journalism. You know, I look at the amazing work that my colleagues do on a daily basis. You know, our own Kevin Lavery to Michelle Jokic Polo to Sophia Salaby to Scott Pohl to the wonderful classical music hosts that are Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley. Just an amazing, amazing team, folks. And, you know, even though you listen for free and it's free for you to listen, we still rely on your donations and your membership to WKAR so that, you know, we can bring you that kind of programming, folks. It's not free. We have to pay for that stuff, you know, and it's not cheap either. So I just want to give a major thanks to all of those who have been members of WKAR, financial members of WKAR for a long, long time. And I want to encourage those who have listened for years, possibly, and have never contributed. Please consider becoming a sustainer. You know, at just, you know, $5 a month, just $5 a month. We'll also throw in, if you do that, we'll throw in a membership for, you know, WKAR Passport, which is basically like our Netflix, right? where you can watch all of the locally produced WKAR TV programming, such as Curious Crew, to Off the Record, to, you know, Serving Up Science, and then all of the PBS programs that you love, you know, and shows that you love that you can just binge watch, like, you know, Downton Abbey. Right. So we'll throw in that for $5 a month at $10 a month. If you decide to up it to that, we'll not only give you WKAR Passport, but we'll also even throw in a really sleek, classy, I like to call it sexy, WKAR, I Heart WKAR umbrella. It's all black. And on the umbrella, you have the WKAR logo in bold white, right over the state of Michigan, which is outlined in white. And then on the A of the WKAR, you've got the heart with the headphones over it. It's just really nice, folks. And, you know, we all need an umbrella right around this time of the year here in Michigan, with it being spring and these showers that we're getting just about every single day. And it's just a cool way for you to show your support and to show, you know, everyone around you what you value, right? When you crack open that umbrella and they see that WKAR logo, you know, it shows what you value. I love that. All right. So I was actually on the air for 3 hours with Sophia Salaby on All Things Considered, pitching, and I'll be back on the air with her on ATC this Friday. But if you want to contribute, it's real simple. Just pick up the phone and dial 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000. Or you can simply just go to our website, WKAR.org. And then at the top of the page, the top right, you'll see a red Give Now button. Click that. It takes 5 minutes. And bam, you are an official member of the WKAR family. And like I always say, man, we can't do what we do without you. So thank you. Thank you guys so much. All right. With that being said, Mel Tucker spoke to the media this week as Michigan State just wrapped up its second scrimmage of spring practice. Here is what the second year head coach had to say.
Get another scrimmage in today and we got to go work in. I was really pleased with the energy. One thing I noticed was that the communication with the players was a lot better. You can see the confidence was much louder, a lot more guys talking. It was you know, two-way communication, you know, all over the field. And that what that does, it just really shows you that guys are having they have more confidence in what they're doing. They understand the scheme. That's a really good sign, because when you know what to do and you have confidence, you play a lot faster. And when you play faster, you play more physical. And then also our special teams work, our drill work was much improved. Just, you know, all the way around, we're getting better. We're gaining ground. We're not where we need to be yet, but I feel like we're making steps to get there. Guys are having fun playing the game. We talked in the team meeting this morning about a question that Coach Izzo and I talk about, you know, quite a bit, is do you like the game? do you love it or do you live it? And so that's what we're evaluating. And in order to be great, you have to live it. And so, you know, we're taking steps. Our team is growing. And, you know, this was just another evaluation, was practice 10. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
Thanks, Coach. Our first question is from Chris Salar, the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Mel. Now that you guys are two scrimmages in, I know you guys have kind of done things a little differently in terms of not necessarily scoring, but how have you tried to enhance the competition maybe both from a positional standpoint and then try and replicate it in what you're doing right now?
Well, we don't have a set depth chart. It's really a rep chart. So we do move guys around. We shuffle the lineups and that's very good for competition. And guys know that we're going to play the best players, you know? And so we put them in competitive situations throughout practice, you know, in our drill work. You know, we have some really physical, you know, one-on-one, you know, drills and we evaluate them and, you know, we film it and we grade it. And, you know, you have to be able to win one-on-one. You have to be able to knock people back. And you need to be able to compete. And if you don't compete, you know, then, you know, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And so we just keep putting them in competitive situations that are up-tempo, that are physical. And we're going to keep doing that. And we're going to see who rises to the top.
And what things do you look for on that? I mean, do you kind of run to get the full scrimmage tape back to everybody, or do you just kind of do cutouts with them of their own and or their position group? I mean, how do you kind of maybe break that down with the guys?
Yeah, typically we don't have enough time to watch the entire scrimmage with them, you know, from beginning to end, you know, as a team. So we break it up by position and the coaches decide which plays they need to show their players to get the point across. It's a combination of corrections and also really just showing the players this is how it's supposed to be done. This is a great example of execution. This is a great example of pad level. This is a great example of hand placement. This is a great example of finishing or footwork or, you know, just great effort to the ball, upper body violence. And so with correction and, you know, showing maybe some of the negatives and showing how to fix it. And then you know, mixing in, you know, some of the good things, you're just really, you know, you're just really trying to develop the players.
Our next question will go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Thank you. Hey, Mel. You start out talking about confidence, and you've been recruiting some confident guys, a lot of guys with NFL potential. We're 16 days out from the NFL draft. How do you get guys who have NFL dreams to stay focused on their dream, but also focus on playing championship college football while you have them right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really communication and a lot of one-on-one conversations. And also, you know, as a team, we're constantly showing these guys what it takes to be the best, what it takes to get to that next level. Like I told the guys today, I said, you know, everyone in the room wants to play at the next level. I've coached 10 straight years in the National Football League. And so I've been there and I know what it looks like. And I know what the expectations are. I know what the standards are. And if you want to be at that level and you want to get the most out of your ability and give you the give yourself the best chance, you have to do more. You know, you have to do more. You have to do more than just what's required. You have to do extra, you know, before practice, after practice, in the evening, you know, taking care of your body, you know, the nutrition piece, you know, rest and recovery, you know, film study, all of that is just, you have to do more. And then that will give you a chance. And there's always opportunities to show guys NFL film. I've sat down with guys and showed them NFL evaluations. You know, I've done comparisons, you know, with guys, you know, it's the delivery of the information and just finding different ways to capture the players' minds, you know, and and so that they pay attention and they understand what the truth is, and so they don't get caught up in the hype. And it's important for the voices inside of our building to be stronger than the voices outside the building. And really, that's when guys get into trouble and get delusional is when they're not listening to the right people. And we have a lot of experience on our staff. We have NFL experience on our staff, NFL experience in our weight room. We have NFL experience in nutrition. You know, so, you know, why wouldn't you listen to us? We're trying to help you get there. And why would you listen to someone who maybe does not know as much as we know about what you need to do to get there? And we're working with you every day, you know, so we do know. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, what's required, we can show you how to get there, tell you what to do, and you got to put the work in and do it. And if not, then you'll be disappointed.
Thank you.
Yep. Our next question will go to McLean Milberg with Spartan Nation.
Hey, Mel, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Good, man. I just wanted to ask you about the linebackers really quick through two scrimmages and what you've seen from that position group and if anybody's stuck out to you at all.
Yeah, the linebacker crew right now is a thin crew. We got a lot of young guys getting work, and it's an opportunity for them to show what they can do, you know, like Halliday and DeMarzo and guys like that. I really like what Noah Harvey's doing, because I've asked him to step up and lead more, and he's making a conscious effort to do that within his personality. He's not a rah-rah guy, but, you know, leading by example, knowing your personnel, knowing how to touch, you know, your teammates and how to connect with them is something that he's learning to do. He's getting better at that. So it's a group that's sound and solid. They're working hard. They're getting better. But obviously, we're gonna need to add to that group here in May and June to really have the depth that we need at that position.
Next question is from Ralph Russo of the Associated Press.
Hey, Mel. Apologize for the lighting. Appreciate your
what lighting?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen. So you've been very active in the transfer portal, and in a couple of days, there's going to be some new rules, most likely, that make everybody eligible starting, you know, next year and as soon as they transfer. I'm not really wondering if you like or dislike the rules. Practically, they're coming. How have you changed your program to adapt to it?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. It doesn't matter if you like them or not. I mean, it is what it is. And that goes back to neutral thinking that we talked about before. You know, what are the facts? You know, what's the truth? And then based upon what you know, what do you need to do next? And so we've done some reorganization in our recruiting and our personnel department here. And so we've talked about this before. We've really really assigned certain folks here to monitor the portal and evaluate, transfers, grad transfers, undergrad transfers, and junior college players. And then we have certain folks that are assigned to the high school ranks. And so we treat it similar to like an NFL, you know, personnel department, where you got the pro side and you got the college side. And so that's how we do it. We have someone that monitors the portal and sits there and it presses refresh every 30 minutes.
I could get one quick follow-up. When you talk about building culture, having that kind of roster turnover, bringing kids in that way, what do you think about culture building when you have that situation with, again, bringing kids who have come from different programs?
Yeah, well, when they come in, they're coming into a culture that's about accountability, attention to detail, sense of urgency, teamwork, you know, straining and becoming and being part of something that's bigger than yourself. That's the culture that we have here. And so the players that we acquire, the players that we recruit, that we bring here, then they right away, they feel that culture, and we onboard them, we explain to them what this is all about. and how we go about our business on a day-to-day basis. And that's after a lot of research and background checks and, you know, character references and things like that to make sure that, you know, the players that we bring here, you know, they fit into our culture, you know, because everybody that's in the portal is not for us. You know, so, you know, we do our due diligence and we feel like our culture is one that where we can add players that are the right fit. They can help us win football games.
Next question is from Rainer Saban of the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Mel, this past weekend, Michigan held its spring game without any fans. I'm curious, how important do you see you having the spring game on television with Big Ten Network on April 24th? And how important is fan outreach right now for college football programs, given what happened last year with the pandemic?
Yeah, fan outreach is everything for us, and we do everything we can to engage our fans. I mean, without our fans, and we really don't have a program. And we have great fans, and our fans are hungry. You know, they want to see the Spartans. They want to see us out there playing. They want to see us out there winning. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to the day that we can have fans in our stadium and pack that thing out and be loud and see us play winning football. But, you know, we're doing everything we can to engage our fans, whether it's social media and hopefully the way we play on the field.
All right. Again, Mel Tucker, second year head coach of the Michigan State football program, commenting on the second scrimmage of spring practice. We always appreciate Mel when he takes a break from practice to talk to us media members and give us just a little bit of insight into how the team is coming together. Don't forget, mark your calendars if you haven't already. Saturday, April 24th is the spring game. The game will begin at 2 p.m. inside of the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium. And you can catch it live on the Big Ten Network. And again, you know, with our COVID numbers being the highest in comparison to any other state here in the nation, don't know if there will be any spectators in the stands, but when I get word on that, I'll be sure to let you know. And, you know, if I'm not on the airwaves when that news breaks, right, just keep it locked to my social media pages, specifically my Twitter feed, at Al Martin, WKAR, and I'll be sure to have that story there. All right? Okay, final break, and I'll put a wrap on this, Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Don't want to go back in time. We'll be right back. Folks, that will do it for this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And folks, I am off actually to get shot one of my COVID vaccine. So yeah, man, you know, I have always wondered what this moment is going to feel like, you know, once I made up my decision to get the vaccine, because I think, you know, right now is just a responsible thing to do to protect the loved ones that I'm around, or I'm trying to be around, I should say. And, you know, especially when you look at how the numbers are starting to go back up now, right? Possible fourth wave we're looking at, and the numbers in this state are just really troubling. I always wonder what this moment would feel like. And I feel good, man. I feel good that I'm doing this today. Because I feel like it's a step in the right direction to try and end the pandemic that is COVID-19. So, yeah, big moment for me today. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Wednesday afternoon as I head out to get shot numero uno. But, folks, I really hope that you're still staying safe. You know, I know there are a lot of irresponsible people here in our nation, but I really hope that my listeners, the Current Sports family out there, you know how we do, you know how we roll. You know, we are always thinking about others, right? You know, putting others before ourselves, and you know, I hope you're wearing your mask. I hope you're socially distancing and doing the things necessary in order to continue to be safe. All right. So I'll see you guys on Thursday. Be well and be easy, people.